Blog Talk Radio.
Value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement.
We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing Word Sound Power featuring the lovely spoken word artist, Black Fire. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss the show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Don't forget to like our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, and subscribe to us on YouTube, and get the latest in video and music content on there, which is youtube.com/CWTQupdate. All right, I'm so excited for this show. Powerful guests, powerful information. So I'm going to start it off with our weekly affirmation, which is appropriately titled Words on Power. Okay, let's get into that. With pure intent and heart, I create my own destiny by proclamation. I speak my reality into being, and harmony and balance follow. I am successful, I am powerful, and I am one with the Creator. Ashe. You can check that out on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, as well as our monthly yoga pose. And since it is the first day of April, we do have a new pose, which is the reclining hero pose, and its benefits include that it stretches the abdomen, thighs, and deep hip flexors, the knees, the ankles. It strengthens the arches, relieves tired legs, improves digestion, and helps relieve symptoms of menstrual pain. So definitely make sure you go and check that one out on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. I think I'm going to put a video of how to get into this one up there. It's not anything too strenuous, but it can be a little bit, complicated, especially if you don't do it right. So we want to make sure we're checking out all of the step-by-step instructions on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, and we're getting our yoga on. All right? So, without further ado, I'm going to bring on this evening's guest. Peace, Black Fire, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Blessed.
Bless. How are you?
I'm blessed again, Thank you for having us. It's an honor to be on the show, Conversations with the Queen. I've listened in on a few shows, and I did call in on some of the ones that would remain to some topics that I'm presently interested in. Yet, I love the variety, and I'm thankful that you chose including us.
Of course, we had to reach out to you, especially after, getting involved and seeing your art and the power that it has. And so it's just a great topic that we're going to discuss today. It's a great whole vibe. You're just an awesome artist, so we really just want to get right into this. So for those who might not be too familiar with you, first just introduce yourself and what you do.
Well, blessed. Thank you for the kind introduction and the strong words of support for the work. I do spoken word in Jamaica. We call that dub poetry. And in China or in the Orient, I'm sure they have their names for it also. So it's a form of expression that may be a lot what it's not in as much as what it is, It doesn't seek to rap, doesn't seek to sing, yet it still seeks to deliver a vibration that communicates an intention and the will, of the person or the instrument, that is vocalizing it. So, it's poetry, and it's oratorical poetry. So it takes the art of the word on paper and paints it in the sky, in the air.
Mm-hmm. sounds great.
Bless you.
So how would you describe yourself as an artist?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know. Art is one aspect of life, you know, mm-hmm. So I wouldn't describe myself as an artist at all. You know, I usually look at being described as an artist as something the audience is doing to you. So if you embrace that, then and if they embrace what you're doing, then that suggests that perhaps your message got through, mm-hmm. you know. I think mm-hmm. that European art tended to always try to be opaque, you know, whereas, you know, I see Nubian art from my study is seeking to be transparent, you know, having a symbolic value suggests that people know what the art is intending. It may be a sculpted proverb, you know, so that chasm kind of, you know, gives you an idea of where I'm looking at it from in terms of word, sound, power. A lot of our reparations has to do with knowledge of who we are, and not just knowledge, also the knowledge of how we learn, of how we acquire knowledge. And the motivation towards knowledge has a lot to do with the region you're in and the reason for the knowledge. For example, what I just said about European art is affected by the people who tend to have a lot to hide. So they create an art that tends to be so mysterious, and then they claim an African art is so mysterious, yet if you really understand or understand the culture that it was produced in and the time and the reason, then it's not really so mysterious at all. It's just my story or I story that they don't quite get. So they have their history and I have my mystery, my story. So I tend to fill that gap for poetry, for I is, you know, a way of communicating my journey to find myself after growing up in America, being shipped in from Jamaica and making sense of two different worlds. That's how I started out. You know,
mm-hmm.
not wanting to lose grip of Jamaica and that culture, yet having to acclimate myself to being here. And I found that writing helped me to synthesize things that I couldn't necessarily synthesize in daily mm-hmm. life, at least
very
not
true.
Immediately. Yeah, so that paper was a place where I could pull things together and shape them. And initially I used to throw away my poetry, and I don't know what motivated I to do that. But yeah, as young as nine, I remember writing clear as day. And I used to just, I felt that it was, you know, more of a release for I. So I felt that if someone got their hands on it, that they would know more about I than I wanted them to.
And then
as I grew, you know, matured and got to know myself, which I think that was just as valid, you know, it is mine, the universe gave it. I also realized that I could have an influence because perhaps other people were challenged with the same questions, wrestling with the same things. And then that's when the idea for I of spoken word was born, you know, before I knew to call it spoken word.
Awesome. So... you have a very unique name, and I love it, by the way. How did you come up with this name, or how did you go about a process of selecting this name? Blackfire, by the way.
Blackfire, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was a metamorphosis, you know, because at this stage, it's Blackfire. You know, my mom named me Patrick,
mm-hmm.
which that reason was because it rhymed with Patrice, who was like twin sister. So that wasn't necessarily the most philosophical reason for choosing a name. And then as I grew up, the European nature of the name is St. Patrick's Day and, you know, the green clover, three-leaf clover and all that fairy tale and foolishness. You know, it didn't sit well with I, you know, and I thought that as I learned African culture, I liked the fact that names had meanings or had translations into something viable and functional. And you're there to remind you of something in daily life to pay attention to and elevate yourself. And Native Americans, indigenous people have that reality. And I just thought it was interesting that, you know, the name, my name didn't necessarily have a meaning per se, you know. So I decided to you know, apply a name to the other journeys that I chose. Patrick, I left for the science that I studied in college, you know. Anytime I speak about my sciences and my collegiate life and the academic side and research I did of malaria and cancer, I'm reasoning about Patrick, you know, and the way the society was shaping. And when I'm journeying into Rastafari to far right, that was more of my writing and exploring more of the social sciences. And I still pen under that name. I have three self-published books that I release from time to time. Actually, Professor Griff has a couple autograph copies that that he says he travels with. And that was another art, because I would sculpt the books myself also with hemp and a certain quality paper and try to give it a papyrus slash scroll, just in the sense of the ancientry of the look of it, and ascribing to order without ascribing to commercialism.
Yeah.
And making it attractive because it's a piece of art and it has an intention, so it should have a vibration. So, you know, I would bring these books to Farrakhan speeches and sell them as a vendor. So I would come up with these unique ideas to present myself, because I realized that unlike the sciences, there was no syllabus, no classified section, no, you know, directories for this. So in creating it, I borrowed from those formats and created my own format. So that's what the names, the names, they denote the formats that I'm in, you know, in the writing. And then when I started getting more and more into speaking it, I would go to anywhere, jazz and blues clubs, where they put up a microphone and they're wailing on the different instruments. And that was really the test to see if, you know, I really had the skills to be oratorical with this. I didn't want to just, I didn't think that just doing an acapella was enough. Although I did, and I did it, always did it without paper. I thought that when you have to recite it with other people reciting themselves through instruments, and you have, and make music with them, not just telling your story, but telling our story, then you're saying something. So I say that because I need to distinguish myself from the standard spoken word artist who likes to just go on stage by himself or herself and preach to people.
Yeah.
And I'm not against that, and I know that there are formats for that, and I do that. But I don't think that that's the only format, and a lot of the artists need to take their discipline and push it into other areas. Even if just to enhance the main area that they like and make it more musical, or even bring other spoken word artists onto the stage and doing combinations. So Black Fire, I'm not saying from the reasoning, is the name that pulls that together for me also, because in this country, they call me Black because I'm always talking about togetherness and my people. Hey, what's up, Black? So whether on a basketball court or, you know, coming out of the classroom or on the streets, hanging with my brethren, they would say Black. You know, when I'm in Jamaica, they're saying the same thing, but they say fire. You know, they don't say Black. They say, what's up, fire? They speak with the energy, you know, that you move with, which is another topic for, I imagine, that the Black really is fire, you know. When you deal with light frequencies and, you know, Black having to do with power and energy. Obviously, fire generates that. That's another topic. You know, so Black Fire represented the merger of a North American life, my West Indian life, and my quest for Africa. So that when they call eyes, it's as if, you know, both sides of ourselves is together again, you know. So being imported from Jamaica, having to leave grandmom and, you know, my aunties and that lifestyle and chickens running around, and remembering all of these things clearly, you know, I just found that I was able to hold on to that within my imagination, you know. When I was able to find that when I went to Africa and see that in my 20s, and then return to Jamaica and stay there for 5 years and relive all of those vibrations. I realized that, Queen, when you take away the accent, which is oftentimes an accident, and when you take away the artificial borderlines,
mm-hmm.
yeah, then you tend to have people pursuing happiness and life and positive vibration, and that's what I'm about, you know. That's what Black Fire says, is that we have a responsibility to pursue that, not get so caught up into American mentality and manifest destiny that we forget
yeah.
that we have our own individual destiny. And if we're born on the earth, then we have a right to know the earth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to be a Siamese twin of anybody or anything. You know, you want
mm-hmm.
to feel free. You have women's liberation, you know. Soon you're going to have men's liberation, right? But, you know, it really needs to be a spiritual liberation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And where people start to realize that the mind has no limits, and we start to see how we can all get along and learn from each other. And again, just like when I was young, poetry is a way that I can pull divergent ideas and almost impossible ideas of Black Americans and African Americans and West Indian Americans getting along without stereotypes. And
mm-hmm.
you see that, you know, it's almost, you know, it seems like a you know, just a pipe dream. However, you know, having trapped, being an individual who all of that is in,
yes.
and having traveled, I feel that I'm in the best position to say if it's possible or not.
Mm.
And not people who've been stuck in one particular position, even if it wasn't their fault. So through the poetry, again, I can do it in a gentle, musical way where it kind of soaks into you and be like, oh, yeah, I like what he's saying. At the same time, you are already moving and grooving and combining, you know, the education inside of it, yet still having a clear understanding of music, of how to make people move and feel good. That has a lot to do with, you know, being comfortable with your message, you know. I'm not,
mm-hmm.
my music is the fact that I'm not trying to sound like anybody else. I true to the art form, I say I'm doing poetry, so you should be able to hear poetry, you know. And
yeah.
if I stay true to that and don't gimmick it and commercial it, you know, just to try to sell a record,
mm-hmm.
you know, then I'll be satisfied with my journey, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, bless it.
Mhm. Yeah, it's awesome, and I love how you described everything that pertained to the development of who you are as an artist and your name and everything like that. I kind of want to just switch gears a little bit and get a little into the topic of tonight, which is word, sound, power, and it's not really switching gears, but just building on it. So. Exactly, for listeners who might not be familiar with the term, what is word sound power?
What is word sound power?
Mm.
Well, honestly, the best way to explain or reason word sound power would be to give you an example of it.
Cool.
Would you love to hear a point?
Sure.
Okay. This one I call anciency, and it speaks a lot to what I've been saying about us reaching for more, you know, even though we modernize, and obviously education and technology has its place once it's guided properly. There's still something to be said about not forgetting that food comes from a farm, even though it ends up in a restaurant, you know, something about not forgetting that we come from Africa, even though we may be making a good living over here. So
mm-hmm.
something in our psyche that balances when we know where we're from, even though we root somewhere. So word sound power is something that can travel like the breeze
mm-hmm.
or over the seas. It doesn't need a passport. It doesn't need a ticket on on an expensive airline, it travels through the vibrational force. I have a twin sister, and sometimes, you know, she just feels that she needs to call me. So what is that? It's vibrational force, because we were in the womb together and we grew up together. So anybody that grows up with somebody can share that force with them, you know, and then they'll say, well, that's my twin. So so this poem, Ancient Sea, you know, was a way of inviting people, you know, into looking at words differently, you know, into, like one writer said, speaking through language instead of speaking with language. And just because we don't speak African doesn't mean we're not African. And that's the great discrepancy that's going on right now, is that I'm not African, you know, and they don't even know why they said that, other than the fact that they don't speak African, you know. So I call this Ancients. I know a place where the waters run deep, and I know a place where the ancients speak. I think it's a crime not knowing where to stand, should I feel acquitted. In the absence of dry land, will I walk on water? Will I pride fail? Let I whisper be the wind and watch I heart set sail. If you can see I, then you know where I stand. If you can touch I, then you know who I am. So meet I the place where the waters run deep. And I'll join the eye at that place where the ancients speak. Can't you hear the whispers in the morning air? And feel the courage lies higher than the fear. And listen for a language that your feet now know. And hear ancient whispers tell I where to go grow. Every wave has its valley. Every crest its peak. Below that wave is where the ancients speak while some sleep. And high above that crest is where our whispers did meet and greet on conversations with the queen. Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see I and I. Black fire, walking on water, in the absence of fear, proud of the lion's pride, it brought all of us here.
Wow. Blessed. Awesome. All right.
That's word sound power.
Of course. I mean, can you offer us a little bit more information or insight as to where, like, the term originates from?
Where the poem?
The term.
Oh, the term word sound power?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I didn't say this at the top of the interview. You know, our devotion is Rasta. You know, one of the reasons I didn't say that is because it's not a religion for us. And a lot of times Rastas are misquoted as being religious, and true Rasta has nothing to do with religion at all. It's a movement, a way of life, you know. What I just said, staying close to the farm, even though you may put on a suit and go and do something formal, you'll take off the suit and go on the farm also. So they don't see that there has to be a distinction. So in that life of culture, being close to the earth, that also being born in Jamaica, you can imagine how that kept me, you know, having a sense of where I came from personally.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say, so you know, the offering that I have, you know, is carrying on the legacy of other great Jamaican word sound power artists who have come along, like Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Bunny Wailer, who formed the Wailers. And before they separated into separate careers. The most popular is Bob Marley, yet he wasn't the only one. In fact, a lot of what Bob Marley learned in the early days was working with Peter, who was the initial one playing the guitar. And many times started out with the first, you know, chords. Peter Tosh was so good that this is a poor Jamaican. He wasn't from no rich family, that he taught himself how to play the guitar. And he actually built a guitar when he was about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So the level of his genius, you know, even in terms of dealing with music, was more scientific than just gimmicks. And I say that specifically because a lot of American artists, when they say they're going to become a musician, they're really just mm-hmm. talking about a fast, easy lifestyle with a bunch of groupies. That's not what, you know, the original reggae artists, you know, were dealing with. And, of course, you know, they love women, they love life, and will party like anyone else. However, they felt that their music should have a message, and it shouldn't just be about Romeo and Juliet topics, you know. It should be guiding people to examining the universe, you know, and true creation story, and how we became relevant here, not just the Adam and Eve and Latinized version of it. So that, you know, led to, you know, a lot of things. The connection with Africa through Garvey, who predicted and prophesied that Haile Selassie I would be crowned King of Kings. This is significant because this was going on in 1920s, 30s, you know, when black American self-esteem was very low in the Western Hemisphere to begin with. Because if you don't have people in high position who look like you, then it's hard for you to have a higher self-esteem of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so even in my music, I can look up to Peter Tosh, who literally looks like me and is a brilliant musician, and talk to himself.
That's actually true, literally.
Say again. Say again.
That's actually true, literally.
Yeah, literally. I've heard that a lot. So a lot of times I imagine if we walk towards our vibration, and we find people much like ourselves who've accomplished great things in that. You know, I think that, you know, that's the same for you with Queen of Four, who, you know, has been doing this for a while, and yet you all's paths intersect. So the meditation is that shows that interface. I can see that interface spiritually, you know. And I imagine it happening more on purpose rather than by accident, and that we should seek out, you know, those who are not being shown on BET and MTV and VH1.
Yeah.
and put the camera on them and create our own media and put the radio on like what we're doing here on 10 Station and highlight ourselves and challenge ourselves to bring proper art quality, you know, to package it properly. See, just because it's not commercialized doesn't mean it shouldn't be packaged, you know, and that's really what I'm on, especially having a scientific background in my studies. I feel that I can give the cultural movement more organization, because a lot of great work doesn't get heard a lot of times just because it wasn't recorded properly. And yet a lot, but then you can't tell me that Nicki Minaj's work wasn't recorded properly. You see? So in a lot of sense, a lot of Nicki Minaj's things is being listened to because it's what's out there and it's recorded properly and it's everybody's hearing it. So there's nobody out there who's cultural, who has money enough to make sure that an excellent artist is pushed out there and heard, of course. So we have to create those collective scenarios where we're, instead of just receding into our rooms, and follow very close what I'm about to say, and in our private homes and even in our private communities and auditoriums and preaching culture, we have to really oversee it, as we have to affect the energy that's being pushed out on the airwaves. We have to start to take back airwaves and noise pollution, what's being pushed out there, by pushing out work that's so good and so undeniable that it has to be played, that even your enemies or enemies of culture have to dance to it. I can give you a perfect example of what one of my comments on the YouTube over the years, that I had the Black Beauty video on there. I got a comment on there where the person said, I don't usually listen to African music, but damn, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is the essence of what I'm intending to do. Create music is undeniable and at the same time educational, you know. So a lot of times when people get into that preaching mode, then
mm-hmm.
they lose the music in it, so you lose the people. And that's
true.
Not right, because if you do
true.
Your homework, you realize music is more than just entertainment for us in Africa. It was our way of life. It was our educational system, and for a practical reason. Because it was an easy way to remember a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that brilliant? That's what they used to use the music to do. Store, it's like increased surface area. You can store, absorb a lot more, you know. So that rhythm, and it's a circular rhythm, and it's going around. It usually has a hook in there. But then you can make an algorithm or calculus interval sound like a child's bedtime story. And that's where the skill comes in and bringing the instruments. So it's really about the skill and the patience to actually do the real music and challenge it and not just to say, well, that's bad. Well, then do something good.
True. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that being said, I'm actually going to play your single, Black Beauty. We're going to let that rock out for a little bit. I do see our co-host has just arrived. Peace, Nels.
Peace.
Hey. All right, so we're going to play this piece, and we're going to come right back and finish up this interview with Blackfire. So,
people perish for lack of knowledge. Blackfire. True. Black fire.
Hotter.
Yeah. You heard about beauty and the beast. I hear about beauty and the east. Beauty and the east. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Beauty in the east, travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Yeah. This is for our peeps that weep in the streets and pound the concrete.
True.
This is for those who rose out the cracks. Petals start shining, learning how to stack. Hey, and seize the day, carpe diem. This is a hymn in church for those at cyber confessions. Man, do you see them? This is for the Jesus' last supper in prisons. Convalescent homes where people die old with no lovers. This is for mothers and brothers, fathers and daughters. Beauty in the east. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Beauty in the east. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. And the sun rising east, where beauty becomes the beast. This is for the least of least. No tricks, just treats. Just work, no sleep. This is where still waters run deep. This is where Mumia Abu say, Obama, I beg your pardon. This is the ghetto sun, and I tuned in to what's happening, ain't got reruns. This is for one woman, one man, one man, one vote. Why we mustn't wait, and why Black Jesse Owen, dead Jackson's ain't no joke. Beauty in the east, travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Beauty in the east. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. For little B locked up for life only 13. This is a mama warrior's dream.
Yeah.
That one day people of every nation and creed will barack for reggae one drop. Touch, taste, feel. No Hollywood, no stages. Just broken hearts and inner rages. This is for the lion and lionesses still locked up in cages. Beauty in the east. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideals. The beast becomes beautiful and truth is what's real. This is for you, sow what you reap. Where in broad daylight people creep. The agony of defeat, lost in black sheep. Heaps of gold in Havala, they claim it's not in Africa. Yet now it's cool to be Kenyan. Check the word for blessing, then learn a lesson. This is for 7-year-old emperors and ladies born queens. This is for Malcolm X's courage and Martin Luther's dream. This is Aretha Franklin saying, rescue me. And Mahalia Jackson singing, roll, Jordan, roll. This is for you if you need to save your soul. I got our Jordans on like Michael, and I roll big spliffs like Peter Tosh. And baby, if you catch it when I shove it, oh gosh. Stepping razor needs a savior. Brown sugar ain't got no behavior. No longer nigger, now they need us, so they call us niggas. Can you feel us? Beauty and the beast, the least of least. Beauty and the east, black beauty. Black fire, black fire.
Awesome, and we are back live with the artist himself, Blackfire.
True, hot, hot, hot. No longer nigger, now they need us, so they call us niggas. Feel us.
Yes, yes, we are live.
The co-host is there too, also, right?
Yes, definitely.
Bless I'm here.
Nelson Bowden. All right, we are here live with artist Blackfire speaking on Word Sound Power. All right, that was an awesome song. Definitely, if you didn't peep the video, definitely do so. It will be posted on Conversations with the Queen on Facebook as well as it is on our blog page. And you could tell them where to find it if you like, Blackfire.
Yes, no problem. Give thanks. Mm-hmm. Like she said, you can find it on the site relating for the Queen. And I also have the youtube.com/blackfireart. BlackfireArt. That will also guide you to the CD Baby, which is .com/RossSaborTafara. And once you go to the, it's okay to have the YouTube. YouTube will lead you there. But the that video is the featured video for that. And it was filmed in Jamaica with brilliantly by some artists that I got to see develop before they even started filming, well-known artists, you know. So, you know, I always like to be from the grassroots, you know, and watching people who, when I could just look at someone and know they're going places and they're going to do it. And you know, it's a vibration, you know. So that's great work, and I always get a chance when I go home to work with them. And the video credits the people who are in the video.
Mm-hmm.
That touches I also, because a lot of those people in the video, they don't have a passport to walk across the borderline anytime they want to. And there's no reason. They're not a criminal. They didn't do nothing wrong. They would just happen to be born over there instead of over here. Wow, you know, seems like luck of the draw. So that video and the music is a way of liberating, you know, and through that video, people can see them and they're able to travel, and I'm able to call and let them know how people are receiving their work, and it gives them hope, you know. Otherwise, you feel like your life is a prison, you know. Nobody sees what you do. Nobody knows you got talent, and, you know, for I to be able to be an ambassador of people's talents, you know, rather than an ambassador of the United Snakes of America. And,
yes, yes. Cool. So definitely, again, check that out on youtube.com/blackfireart. And you can also check that out on conversationswiththequeens.blogspot.com as well as facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. And I also post the link in the chat for those who are listening on the live stream. All right, so you mentioned briefly a little bit earlier that, you know, Rasta is your way of life and how you've chosen to express yourself, especially spiritually. So, if we may ask, why did you choose Rasta?
Honestly, because I was tired of the lies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time in my life, in my 20s, you know, I turned 41 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Give thanks. And, you know, I just, in my early 20s, especially midway through college, studying biology and biochemistry, I just started to realize that it was an invitation either to lie to people or to leave that format and go in another format, you know. Because, you see, when you're, let's say, in high school, primary school, you have less idea of what's going on. And the lesser quality of the school, and I'm not denoting the teachers necessarily, but, you know, they access the books. You know, if that school over there has 50 computers and your school only has one computer, you know, it's not hard to see why 50 students over there might become computer graphic, you know, designers or something, and over here, they never even got the chance. So, you know, that's what we're wrestling with here, you know. And so if I get the chance and I'm in college, you know, even if I'm struggling, whatever we want to call it, or I get scholarships because I'm academically gifted, it's still a privilege I'm getting that a lot of people will never have access to. So when I started to weigh the privilege, I had to weigh the cost of the privilege. Is the cost of the privilege just financial? Haven't you noticed that the higher people tend to climb academically or even politically or anywhere in this country, the further they tend to move away from their families?
Mm-hmm.
And the families tend to get barred away into, like, nursing homes. Have you ever really noticed what's going on in this society? And the children don't really know their grandparents and all that, versus other society where they may not have had all of those chances and advancements. The families still have the education of who they are, though. And they can trace back their family name about 10 generations and describe the person, you know, what they were like. And most people nowadays can't even do that to their own grandmother. So what are we gaining? What's the gain and loss for this so-called education? So I challenge it that it's a false education, because if it excludes life, the very thing we're supposed to be increasing happiness in, then it's inherently hypocritical. It can't come back and give something that it never gave to begin with. And if it's taking you, even going to college, it took away so much time from people and locked up in libraries. It's immoderate. and then you got all these big brains walking around on what they're doing. They're asking for a job. Somebody owes me a job because I spent all this time studying and I need to find something to do with it. And that energy. You know, so I said, first of all, I'm not going to go out there and beg for no job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to, like Garvey said, I'm going to create my own. And if it is about education, then it should be about cultural education. And if it is about cultural education, we have to start belittling the arts when they're really the only formats that are teaching any character again. You can't trust the churches or the mosques or any of those things, but you can trust a good poem or a good song. You'll know if the song was foolishness, if it touched you, if you were going through an experience, you know, just what song to draw for, you know, to help you through that. There's no denying those things. You don't necessarily know which medicine to draw for, you know. so to speak. And so poetry does that. You know, it allows me, again, a place where I can resolve these things, you know,
okay.
and ask those questions. Beauty in the East, travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama. That comes out of the experience of having done research at Johns Hopkins University. Listen to what I'm about to say. Coming home late one night, getting dressed in a tie and everything, pulled over in an empty parking lot because I was so tired at 1 o'clock in the morning from doing the research that I needed to take a little 5-minute shut-eye. Don't they call it a power nap?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Caucasians name everything. So a power nap. So I take a power nap, and I don't even think I got into 3 minutes of that power nap before I had 4 police cars surrounding me and flashlights. And I remember the Caucasian woman, and I have to call it just like that because they've made race very relevant in this country. And the reason they were dealing with me the way they were is because of how they perceived me. And the hand, the white lady's hand was shaking on her gun. You know, and my lights are just flashing in front of me, and all I remember doing was taking a little nap. And they're telling me that I'm waiting to rob this place, and I'm waiting on somebody. I remember my Johns Hopkins ID is in my wallet. My ID, my license, everything. They didn't even ask. They're telling me instead of checking anything they wanted to check. And in the times, my face has been dragged down on the ground because they thought that I'd stolen a motorcycle. You know, the perception I was a part of a stolen motorcycle, stealing motorcycle group, when, again, a Caucasian youth had loaned me the motorcycle, but he didn't finish paying for it. So the person he got it from reported it stolen. But they can't give you back your time after they do that foolishness. And if you're being judged for being black, then that's a good hint to go ahead and be black and be very good at it. You see it? Because it doesn't make sense for me to go try to be white and not just in the color sense of it, but in the, even the academic sense of it. And the way white is a philosophy. It's a way of thinking that they're trying to push onto people. It's not even really a color. People pay attention to what's going on. Even Cat Williams, with his crazy self, said it's not about black and white as much as it's about us and them. So what is the us and them? It's the knowledge that they're allowing to be disseminated versus what they don't allow to be disseminated. And we need to go after a lot of that knowledge, even what they're paying $20,000 a year for at universities, is a smokescreen, you know. They're really just picking the brains of the people that's at the place. They're just it's a big, yes, it's a big laboratory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The main knowledge is still the land, the earth, people, movement, culture. That's the main knowledge. And until we get that, then we really haven't advanced. It doesn't matter how much math you can do and science you can do if it's not improving way of life. And when I see, if I go and become a medical doctor, I have to do what Johns Hopkins or the medical board tells me to do. You see the logic? If I go become an engineer, I have to pass an engineering license. You see, and that's from who? Who is the original licensing distribution? The same Manifest Destiny, the same Columbus that bumped into here, into this country, and lied and said he discovered it. Who's the standard? Who's disseminating the standard to decide the license? You see, the National Rifle Association, you know. So when you look at the logics of it, we have to demand being heard. We have to set our own standards, even through culture. That's where the pressure comes from. And in poetry, I can speak freely. And more people, you see, rather than becoming popular off of gimmicks, it's really about the message, getting the message out. A whole lot of people chasing celebrity. And Rasta is not interested in that. Rasta is interested in community. I want my music to be bigger than I am. You see, and I want my message to be bigger than I am. I love it when I hear children singing my song. And that means I know I've tapped that chord. Oh, they love that Black Beauty song. My one youth that calls me, still mama won't let I cuss. That's my whole name as far as she's concerned. Hey, daddy, still mama won't let I cuss is here. So this shows that same vibration I was saying. That's a proverb I wrote in a song. I call it modern day proverbs, you know? And yet a youth already picked it up, and obviously he's already sharing it with his friends, and, you know. So that's culture, you know. When we can sum up what our needs are in this time and find a way to say it so succinctly that it comes out music.
Definitely. Bless. All right, so you spoke a little bit about music and its impact on culture, as well as its ability to teach. So infusing the aspect of Rasta into your music, how does that make Rasta music different from other forms of music or other avenues that you see other artists choosing?
Bless it. That's a loaded question, you know, yet it's an important question. You know, first, you know, in defending Rasta, I don't want to do it no injustice, you know, so it, Rastafari is the name of the Emperor Haile Selassie I, who was the Emperor of Ethiopia during the time of World War II, if you want to place him, you know, for those who take the time to learn their history and study it. He was born 1892, so his birth name was Tafari Makonnen. Ras means head or king in Amharic. Ethiopia, so hence Rastafari. So you can imagine in Jamaica, children of the diaspora living in the hills, getting messages across the wind and playing their drums and refusing to go down into the valley, you know, and live among Babylon, who's always chasing to try to get to America. So they're developing their own based on anything they can read, even the King James Version of the Bible, however they mock it, they criticize it. Because what they're able to do is pull the hypocrisy out of it and show where it contradicts itself. So in that way, they're able to say what it's supposed to be saying, you know. Because we all know it's just stolen proverbs and literature. But it's been twisted. So, you know, with that metaphor in place, it's a bridge, you know. So when you see that it's based on the name of a king, of a young king, that actually, during the time when Europe was trying to annex Ethiopia and say, oh, no, they're first and they're really white, the emperor of Ethiopia said, no. I'm a Negus. Where Negus come from? Negro. I'm black. Negro. I mean, I know none of that Caucasian line thing because he knows his roots. See, a lot of that shading, and especially different shades, you know, come, a lot of things have been affected, you know, by the rape and war, and especially in Egypt, where they were able to infiltrate a lot. You can see the distinct line. North Egypt, light skin. Go south into Egypt, black skin, darker black skin. I don't even like to say dark. I like to say deeper black. Dark as other conditions. However, you know the essence of what I'm saying. So how come there's a line there? Because the Caucasians came down and they're doing their foolishness on the top half, but they couldn't get down to the bottom half. So you can see their footprint or their fingerprint. Does that make sense? Wherever they're traditionally, they were Nubian, which means, you know, Jesse Black. So now they got that light color. That's what happened more recently in history. So, you know, that message reaching all the way over to Jamaica, you know, it was heard, you know, and it influenced their music, you know. They used to listen to Ska and Mento and the big band coming through the radio over to Jamaica. Because remember, only Cuba separates Jamaica from Miami. So the music is getting over there even when they can't move. So when you can't physically move, then the thing that can move and returns becomes very important to you, i.e. maybe it's a messenger bird that literally can fly someplace for you and come back. Maybe it's a person that will carry a message for you and come back. Maybe it's the radio.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were in America through the radio. You see? Mm. So they would study the music, and then, you know, instead of complaining about not being able to come over here, they would just live, you know? And part of living was doing their version of jazz, you know? Doing their version
yeah.
of flute. So when you add all that together and blend in R&B, the hip-hop, everything together, you know, bringing in the ska and the original calypso, that's how you get reggae, you know. So now you have reggae, popular reggae, you know, just like you have love songs, you know, and R&B or hip-hop love songs, and then you have hip-hop gangster songs. So, reggae is the same way. You have some hardcore reggae, you know, because people, music, is, as long as you have music and you have people, you're going to have as many different types of music as different types of people. So that's the evolution of it. So now, why Rasta and reggae, and how does that music differ? It's that evolution that makes it different. It's using a lot of the formats within the American music,
mm-hmm.
which is we're coming from where really where anyway, Black Americans,
mm-hmm.
right?
Of
they're the
of
ones
course,
creating rock and roll, R&B, rap, jazz and blues. All. So think about it. Just like
mm-hmm.
the African drums used to speak to each other across the
mm-hmm.
great distance of Africa. Now translate that same energy through the radio, except it's music going back and forth. So the Black American isn't getting over to Jamaica because they're told that it's a bunch of Kingstonians running around shooting everybody like Dillinger and John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamaicans can't get over here because they're told that they're criminals just because they're Jamaican, so they're not given a passport. And
mm-hmm.
both are a lie, but it's irrelevant because you're being blocked anyway. So while the revolution is going on, the music is really carrying it, you know. And that's where it became important to be able to travel through the music. Now, you have some people that keep that music righteous. You know, by righteous,
mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting religious again. You know, although
yeah.
I know that's the connotation of the term. We have to get out of that habit. You know,
mm-hmm.
religion does not have a let's say, monopoly on terminology. You know, we really have to get into the translation of things because that's how the psychology is becoming wizardry and really confusing people. But you just have to study for yourself and you know for yourself. But yeah, that journey now of shaping that music and those who choose to do it the righteous way, in other words, to do the right, just way, to speak about justice and equality
yeah.
and the rightness of life, and upfulness, and even if you speak about women, you know, you don't speak about them as bitches and hoes, you speak about them as queens and empresses. That's the element that Rasta brings to the music. Remember, Rasta again means king, the far right. So we're bringing that royalty. We're saying, oh, okay, our father's a king. Because
mm-hmm.
if we're from the lineage of Africa and there's still a king in 1930, that means somebody been lying to us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a king, an emperor. And quiet as it's kept, 22 nations, all the Caucasian nations around the world went and bowed to him. And this is documented. You can find it on the YouTube. As King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Conquering Lion. Why would they do that? You know, white people aren't going to do that. Unless it's true. They had to pay homage to him. And Italy, who was joined with Hitler, got jealous, and Italy tried to annihilate Ethiopia. And it didn't work because that wise king outsmarted them, and Italy ended up declaring war on England and France, and then Hitler couldn't get help anymore. So it
mm-hmm.
seemed, you know, America wants to take credit, and I'm not speaking. Those who consider themselves American, I'm not speaking like against where you were born. You know, we just have to remember that the Native American land and the political business arrangement is not the same thing. And
of
I'm speaking
course.
To that political business relationship that's going
on
over here.
The corporation of the United States.
They got a whole bunch of Native Americans on reservations getting drunk, and black Americans without their Social Security paying these things for years, and they can't get it, can't collect it. This is modern-day slavery, you know. What's the difference if you don't pay me, or you pay me and take all the money back?
Yeah.
And taxes and promised Social Security never comes, and all kind of the gimmicks, like utilities, you know, like exorbitant water and electricity and light and all these things that should be regulated so that they don't not so expensive. So it's obviously a game. It's like a gambling hall that don't let you take the money out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, music is liberating you because there's a roster. We're militant, you know, and we're saying, you know, I know I'm from royalty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of, you know, I mean, Zynga to Queen of Sheba, Makeda to Nefertiti to even Haile Selassie the first Empress Wazira Menen, who was no joke, you know. She was in charge of war strategy during World War II. She wrote a book and took the proceeds and built a hospital for women and children, more than one, and schools. So, and yet, people didn't hear her a lot, but she would go and give speeches. So, again, it shows you that principle that you don't have to be a celebrity in order to have a significant, lasting influence. And that's the essence. You know, I would like to have a historical influence. I would like to do something unique and special that maybe you can't even categorize, you know, as much as you make your best effort. Perhaps it's just music, you know. A muse, you know. A muse is that vibration. It speaks of a feeling, you know. And it's not necessarily always amusing. And, you know, we don't like the fact that we always end up in a museum, you know. So we have to breathe life into our day-to-day reality. And the only way we can make our day-to-day relevant is that we don't forget about Mandela's day-to-day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what music is for me. It's a place where I can speak about the Blade Runner being able to go free after putting four bullets into something. Girl and admitting that he did it after he lied and then admitted that he lied and then said she gets the dog or some foolishness. And then she gets bail that he's not considered a flight risk. And Mandela, who's originally historically, ethnically from South Africa, where can he be a flight risk to? Has to spend 30 years in prison, maximum security, for political crime. You know, it's just, it shows you. And then the same day that they made that verdict, that Baba Mandela got sick. You know, it's like, you can almost say he felt it, you know. Black people still not free. A white man, because he has no legs still, or with no legs, is still further ahead than a black man with legs. You understand? They pay more attention to the Blade Runner, for example, than Usain Bolt in Jamaica, who never shot nobody, who built a nice the restaurant over there, and nightclub, and being an entrepreneur, and, you know, helping his community and spending money on ball fields and track and field and school things for children and scholarships. No exposure, no camera. Only time they want to put a camera on him is if he might lose this year, you know. So we get a lot of negative publicity, and the poetry is a good way for, you know, I to light the candle in the darkness rather than cursing it, and put my people on pedestal. Like the song said, Black Beauty, you know, it's about my people, whether we call them Black, Kemet, Nubian, care what number, what name they change it to. You know, over the next 500,000 years, it's still my people, you know, and we have to build up our self-esteem and let the children see us building each other up, because children learn from example. So they see us pulling each other down and being jealous. Oh, see what happened? I'm a poet, you're a poet, so who's the better poet? That's what always happens in America, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than how can you and I write a song together in order to be able to say more things with more variety of style within one song, which makes it even more interesting and more of a hit. Why we can't do that? Why we got to think about how we can compete about who's styled better? Because if I'm the best at who I am, there's only one person can be Black Fire.
Of course. Speaking of, let's play a little bit more of your music before we wind it on down, because we only got 20 minutes left on the live stream. Again, if you have any questions or comments, you can call in at any time. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. And all you have to do is raise your hand by pressing 1. Again, we're live with Black Fire, talking about word sound power. But we're going to get into his this next piece, Step in Fire. But before we do, you know, you requested a little mix on it. Put a little Peter Tosh in there first. So we're definitely going to do that. And then we're going to step right into Black Fire.
Yes, Abuna, Peter Tosh.
Yes, yes. All right, so let's get into it.
Yes.
Like a walking razor, don't you watch my side? I'm dangerous. Said I'm dangerous. I'm like a walking razor, don't you watch my side? I'm dangerous. Dangerous. If you are a bully, treat me good. If you are a bully, I beg you. Like a stepping razor, don't you watch my size? I'm dangerous, dangerous. I'm like a stepping razor, don't you watch my size? I'm dangerous, dangerous. If you are a chunky, nobody chunky from me. If you are a chunky, chunky, nobody chunky.
So make I'm a preacher's son, don't you watch I smile. Backfire. So make permanent space for this space.
I'm a stepping fire. Don't you watch our style, I'm dangerous, so dangerous. I'm a preacher's son, don't you watch our smile, I'm serious, so serious. I'm wealthy like your Onassis, looking after your jackets and ties. When your Kennedy's dread, you got the story twisted. I young, I black, I gifted. Sifting through Washington to foolishness in the United States of a Mary McDonald. Watch what your hot low, it might collapse. Never stay relaxed in war. They might show up in unmarked cars like horses and under your breath curses and hide mini skirts around the corner where shortcuts become long. And the refugees sing this song. It's a Rasta Shatta story. Jay-Z and the Lazies got hard knock lives. Glory is our story, so please don't bore me with your meager, major 2,000-year-old promises, comforting fools. Let your Clarence Thomases and your Christ be the one you love, and clouds stay above where they belong, raining on the just and underrated. I am a stepping fire. Don't you watch our style, I'm dangerous, so dangerous. I'm a preacher's son, yet don't you watch our smile, I'm so serious. I'm a stepping fire, don't you watch our style, I'm dangerous, so dangerous. I'm a preacher's son, don't you watch our smile, I'm so serious. They say the blacker the fire, the hotter it burn, even Rihanna tell ya, wait your turn. Babylon and burning in your own salvation, then take an oath doing no harm. You see, then they send the nation by a pharmacy, yet I can't spell the word without harm. You see, before you take another pill, take off the T and see if I'm lying. In a system where criminal justice is legal, I've been in these silent places where regal convalescence, while mediocrity parades itself, awarding arrogance, ignorance, and dissing excellence. The age is red, the page is dread, the roster pledge, like cryptic messages on the wall. And precious moments, how they linger, rags to riches, drag card, jalopy races, and sloppy justice for niggas. How you gonna be a long liver when you shiver in a cold hall? The bigger they come, the harder they fall. If you want to live, treat I good. I like a stepping razor, don't you watch our side, I'm dangerous. If you are a bully, not but a bully pun, I like a stepping razor. If you're a chunky, don't ride your pork, driven nightmares near eye. If you eat with a fork and paw at every fork in the road, if you drink lead soup like fruit, something cool. You are a bullfucker, don't bother fuck on I like a stepping razor, don't you? Do I know fire? Don't you watch our style, I'm dangerous, so dangerous. I'm a preacher's son, yet don't you watch our smile, I'm so serious. I'm a stepping fire, don't you watch our style, I'm dangerous, so dangerous. I'm a preacher's son, don't you watch our smile, I'm serious. I like a stepping razor, don't you do I no favors? If you are a junkie or a tax, move away from my politician on a disastrous vampire mission. These are the United States of Africa. I'm like a stepping, jumping, fixing fire razor, son of our eternal creator. Think of pen reading ink, you will never erase us. So make the devil in space for the sake. Fire. They wanna tie you to see.
Yeah. All right, that was Step in Fire with our artist Blackfire. That's one of my favorite ones. I'm not going to front on you. I be having that stuck in my head sometimes, be singing it to myself. True. People think I'm crazy, but they don't know what I'm talking about.
That's how we all stepped into the earth, you know. Somebody made love with somebody, and that was a spark. That was a fire. Here we are. So a lot of times trying to get somewhere, and we already here.
True. True, definitely. So before we wrap it up with last remarks, I just want to let my listeners get a chance to know about any of your upcoming events, your albums, projects, and all the contact information to get in touch with you.
Good, thanks. And bless all the listeners, those who take time out of their schedule, listen to Word Sound Power to connect as a community and rebuild the most important reparations, which is us socializing, getting along, you know, stop believing the hype, you know, that there's any reason for us not to get along, you know. There are more reasons to get along than not to get along. And even those who are lower on the chakras or lower on any spiritual tier, you know, if we're higher up, you know, then we're the guiding force. You know, we have to be facilitators and share love. In terms of upcoming shows, you know, the YouTube is a good place to check for any concerts that I have coming up this year. The first goal is release of this album, The Way of Rasta.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be within my birthday month. There's just some final things that we're taking care of. It's along the same line of, like I said, controlling our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of having record labels coding my songs, you know, I've been acquiring my own codes for my songs and embedding them so that, you know, wherever the song plays in the world, I'll be able to know. So that's just a bit of information for artists out there. Because whoever you are, whatever you're choosing to do, you're in our heart, you know, just like Black Beauty said. And I really desire for us to learn scientific and technical ways of defending ourselves, you know. And if you find that you knit quilts, you know, then start packaging up your quilts and put your tag on it and market it. You have the internet, you know. If you sing, then package it and market it. It's, commercial isn't about the packaging. It's about who's packaging and the reason. So don't let Hollywood tell our story. So The Way of Rasta is a crucial album. Those singles that you heard are on that album, including 14 other amazing tracks, all representing the journey. And many of them having combinations with other artists, from young to old, from I think as young as 3 years old on the album, all the way up there to, gosh, I got to be 70s, you know, and that was intentional, you know. So that album, The Way of Rasta, look out for the posting of it, and I'm certain the Queen will make an announcement for the exact date, and the youtube.com/ Blackfire Art, that site will make the announcement also. And that should coincide with or be preceded by the webpage, which will be Blackfire Art and or Blackfire Nation. So either one of those doorways will get you through. And I'm certain that, again, the Queen will make that available in her archive for you to check. BlackfireArt.com and BlackfireNation.com. So those are places you'll be able to check regular updates to give everybody a chance. Those who are not on Facebook and those who are on YouTube and who want that interactive experience, that's the type of web pages being developed. And there you'll be able to find access to my books and I'm sure read enough of the chapters on there. It's all about the knowledge front. If money comes, it comes. My heart did not bleed for money. And then at the same time, you know, money used to be represented as cowrie shells, you know, before it became paper, before it became plastic, before it became digital. So for I, it never really changed. In physics, we learned that energy doesn't get destroyed or created. It merely changes shape. So that, so in terms of money, you know, it has to do with the energy of sharing the knowledge, you know, and value for value. So So that's what I'm happy about. So look out for that. And that's spoken clearly. If you ever need the album, you can't afford it, just ask me for it. I'll send it to you. That's real.
All right, so definitely get in touch through those avenues that we just stated. I dropped the links in the chat, so definitely anybody who's listening to the live stream should be able to see it. And also, it's through Conversations with the Queens at blogspot.com on the post that we did on Black Fire with his biography. It's right, clearly posted right there, so definitely check out those two places if you want to keep in touch. All right, so we're about to wind up the show. Now we ain't heard much from you, girl. You just chilling all up in the background.
Quiet.
I know, right? Like a mouse.
A good leader, not always seen, but always felt.
Definitely, definitely.
Good feeler energy. That's it.
Right. So, I mean, it's been an awesome, awesome show, and I've been so glad to have you on. So do you have any last remarks that you would like to touch on before we wrap it up? 4 minutes left on the live stream.
Bless it. You know, first, obviously, like my mom taught, I have to say thank you. You know, thank you for the time. It's been an honor and a full pleasure. Certainly a journey, you know, so every intersection, you know, gives us one more rung on the ladder of immortality, right? So without the intersecting, then you couldn't even have a ladder. So for I, this translates into intersecting, you know, is when I'm able to share the ideas of a king on a queen format with another queen, who is quietly there in force. Bless it. And those who listen, took the time to listen, I feel the vibration. And those who will listen in the archive, in the future, I feel their energy, you know. So it's an opening of a portal, you know. That's what I look at it as, you know. A long time, Caucasians could just walk into buildings that looked beautiful and were attractive and drew them in with light, big light, tall ceilings and books. And what were the books, you know? They were portals. They could pull off anything they want and open up Edison's mind, or, you know, open up Tesla's mind, or, you know, open up Benjamin Franklin's mind. So we have to realize, first of all, it's really a mind of a mind they're opening up. And it used to be, it's all our mind, they pick it from Africa and the papyruses. So let's just be open, you know, open with our hearts, open with our knowledge, and really, you know, trust the universe, you know, that the truth will always be protected. You can't take the wet out the water, you know. You can't take the hot out the fire. So like Peter Tosh say, it's really about equal rights and justice, you know. And people shouldn't play games about that. You know, that's the real money, you know, because after all, you know, they can give you anything, you know. It's about whether or not they can take it away, you know. So if you give it to yourself or you get it yourself, you know, then obviously no one can take it away. So thank you all. Thank you so much. Shout out to my family and those who are the reason I'm here, everybody at every corner, every block, every teacher, every professor, every janitor that had a joke to tell me, garbage man, all the way to Dr. Benjamin Carson, great neurosurgical mind, to Africa, my experiences there that brought I here, and that created the music, you know, the Black Fire and the Way of Rasta. And if I can be of help for anyone, you know, I'm ready. So keep your heads up out there. And love. With love.
Awesome. Thank you for being a part of this show. And it's been awesome having you on, sharing about your works and everything that you do. So listeners, definitely, definitely stay in touch with this brother. All right. Peace.
And love.
All right, you've been listening into Conversations with the Queen, and we do air every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join us next week. We'll be having the lovely, talented, and awesome, and gifted healer, Nubia I, on the show, La Raw Food Healing Goddess. So So definitely come back next week for that. All right, I'm going to play it out with a little bit of Peter Tosh, Mama Africa, and hope to see you next week. All right, peace.